Հանուն հոր եւ որդվո եւ հոգուին սրբո, ամեն.
Throughout this past Lent, we have been learning about stewardship and what stewardship is. We sometimes have the wrong understanding that stewardship means we need to collect money so that we can keep the lights on or that Dad and I can get new vestments. But in reality, stewardship is an invitation. It's an invitation to people to participate in something greater. It's an invitation to people to participate in the vision and the mission that God has given us through the Holy Church. And when we accept this invitation, we do it in three forms. The first is through time. When we dedicate our time to God, we show that His mission is very important. It is a priority in our life. All of us have hundreds and thousands of things to do. Because whenever I come to someone and ask them to do something, they say, oh, Dad, I have a lot on my plate right now. Okay, Antunelia, I accept that. But priorities is a very important thing to remember. What is a priority in our life? Sleeping in on a Sunday morning? Deacons. Or coming to church early and helping set up? Second, talent. We show God and we participate with our talent. All of us have abilities that God has given us. And the question then becomes, what do we use and what do we do with those abilities? Do we use them for the glory of God or for our own glory? Do we use them so that the body of Christ, the church, works in unison with each other and together? Or is it, as they say up in New Jersey, discombobulated? It does not work well. And then the third way, and sometimes the most painful way, is through money. When we give money and we put our money to the church, we are saying that that gift that God has given us, because we all think we earn money on our own. Nothing that we own is ours. Nothing that we own is ours. Every cent that every person has been given to us by God. And it is a dedication and an acknowledgement that that which God has given us, we are willing to give back because we trust that He will give us again. We give that money to the church so that we can also not only make God's vision grow and become a reality, but also so that we can share the blessings that we have been given to those who do not have those blessings. Because we, in turn, can become a blessing and an answer to someone else's prayer. Today, though, we are going to learn and see how to bring all of these things together. A steward literally is someone who watches after a house, who takes care of a house. And this is what the word in Armenian, steward, means, dëndes, dun, desno, someone who looks after a house. And even in English, steward literally means stai. We all know pigsties. It's a house of a pig. And ward, warden, someone who watches after something. So a steward is literally someone who watches after a house. And a steward is someone who is commissioned with a responsibility to do that. Sometimes we think, the church has created this fantasy of stewardship. They did it, if you read, what's his name? Dan Brown? The one who did Da Vinci Code?
Yeah.
He's a liar. Don't believe the books he reads. I tell you this now, okay? But he's a good writer, but he's a sidachos, okay? He's a liar. But he'll say in the beginning of the book, the church created this, this, and this to make people follow this line of reasoning. It's not true. And that's a whole nother sermon, I'm sorry. But his name came to my mind right now. But we sometimes think, oh, the church created this in the 4th or 5th century so it could get rich and it can make money. That's not the case. God established the idea and the virtue of stewardship long before the church ever existed. And the truth is, from the beginning of time, God created stewardship. And He created it so that we could put our trust in Him and not in everyday objects. Not in our money, not in our work, not in our health. And unfortunately, we know in the past 2-3 years, health can go from very, very healthy to very, very sick in a matter of hours and minutes and days. But Adam was the first steward. And in the book of Genesis, it says, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it, to care for it. We know that Adam failed. He did not do a good job at his stewardship. He followed his own will and not the will of God. And as a result, we are all in this situation now today. But Christ, who is the second Adam, showed us what that meant to be, what it was meant to be a good steward. And he showed us through his time, his talent, and his treasure. The first, he constantly, through his time, constantly prayed, constantly glorified God, constantly served those around him. Even when he was tired, he served them. Talent. We don't know what talents he did or he had. If he could wiggle his ears or if he could jump real high or whatever he could do. What talents? My daughter yesterday went to a talent show and she did ballet. So that's her talent. All of us have a talent. All of us have an ability. We don't know what Christ had. But we do know that he had the Holy Spirit in him and that he was able to heal. And that he healed everyone without regard for who they were or where they were from or what disease they had. He constantly helped people. This is why, and I told my parish council this many times, I am very against the idea of charging for sacraments, charging for baptisms, weddings, and funerals. Because those things that we have received freely, we cannot expect to charge people for. This is when I've told them, and they are okay with this. If in the event somebody comes and says, Dad, I can't pay for the baptism, I say it's okay. We're going to baptize anyway. I'd rather have that child be baptized than have them be outside and left to the elements and left to the world at large. Rather that child be baptized than have to suffer that. And then third, treasure. We don't know how rich Christ was. We don't know his bank account. We don't know what he made or how much money he had. But what we do know is his opinion about money. And he said very clearly, you cannot serve both God and mammon. You cannot serve both God and money. You will either serve one and hate the other. And so the question then becomes, which one do we serve? The question really is, how do we apply this to our lives? The easiest and the hardest answer is that we have to be Christ-like. We have to be like Christ. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Because what did Christ experience? Rejection, ridicule, death, persecution, crucifixion, all of these things. But that is what we are called to do as Christians. Saint Athanasius of the 4th century says a very, very famous quote. And it's nicer in Armenian than in English. But in Armenian, in English, it is, God became man so that man might become God. Astvad martatsav o martastvadzana. God became man so that man might become God. At first we think, whoa, no. There's one God. What is he talking about? He's probably in the desert a little too long. But no. What he is saying is, God became man so that we might be like God. We may be eternal, immortal. We may not have to suffer death anymore. Christ says this too. He says, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're all called to be like God. But again, the question is how? How do we do this? How do we make ourselves be Christ-like in our everyday lives? The church and God have given us that opportunity. They have given us the tools to do that. Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, those are all there, but also stewardship. It is through stewardship that we become more like God. Now, I know what all of you are thinking. This is Dare Height's way of trying to get money out of us. That's why he's going this route. That's not the reason, I promise you. But stewardship in and of itself, in the simplest term, involves working with others. If we are going to give our money, our time, and our talents to someone else, we have to trust that person. We have to love that person. We have to forgive that person. Those are all attributes and characteristics of what God and who God is. It is very, very hard to give our money, our time, and our talents to someone who does not like us. Someone who has hurt us constantly. Someone who ridicules us constantly. Yet Christ did it, and we're called to be like Christ. Christ also forgave, and that's a very hard thing for us Christians and Armenians to do, is to forgive. We're required to be patient, to be loving, and to be forgiving. Believe me, it's very hard to be a priest if you are not forgiving. But the reality is, it's difficult to give all those things to people. It's even more difficult to give our very expensive time, the priceless talents that we have, and the money that we have worked for to a church who, in our opinion, does not like us, does not want us to be there, is full of sinners and hypocrites and liars and gossipers. It's very hard to do. This is where forgiveness comes in. This is where we come to the church and we say, the church, remember, St. John Chrysostom says, the church is not a museum, but it is a hospital where people are healed. This is what we are called to be and to do. In 3 weeks' time, we're moving to a new church. It is my prayer, my fervent prayer, that all of the grudges that we have had over the past 30 years and plus stay behind, and we do not take those to the new church. I know, and I've heard from many, many people, Dehai, 20 years ago, that person did this thing to my great aunt, who's dead now 10 years, but they did that, and they never asked for forgiveness. They never apologized for it, and so I'm going to hold it against them. How's that been going for you? Do you have a relationship anymore with those people? No, I don't want it. Do you come to church? No, I don't need to go there because they're there every Sunday. So then why are you telling me this? This is the problem, but the reality. And I hope and I pray we leave all of those things behind and we move to the new church just as the Israelites left Egypt, right? They didn't take all their things with them. They left them behind. Likewise, we're only going to take a couple of things. All right? I promise you, only a couple of things. The rest we're leaving behind because we don't need them. Because God is providing for us. This is my hope and my prayer. I ask also that in these next couple of weeks and in the months to come when we move to the new church, we not only rededicate ourselves as stewards of the church, stewards of Christ, stewards of God, but we also look to see what is important in our lives. Our times, our talents, and our treasures, what are we doing with those things? Are we wasting them away, or are we using them for God's glory? Because when we use them for God's glory, He will multiply them even more. As I said a couple of weeks ago, and I forget which sermon it was in, the feeding of the 5,000, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he was able to feed thousands of people. Doesn't matter how much you have. What matters is if you're willing to give it. And sometimes we're not. Sometimes we keep it close to us because we're afraid we're going to lose it. And the stewards from last week's reading were very clear. The one who had 10, he multiplied it and got 10 more. The one who had 5 multiplied it and had 5 more. But the one who had 1 and buried it because he was afraid he might lose it, that was taken away from him and given to the one who had 10. And he was cast out. The things we have are not ours. The things we have been given to us to multiply and to share with others.
Amen.